Good morning. Let me just frame myself. This is what can happen to you after four children. No chicken cutlets. Just so you know. First of all, I'm really nervous, and when I get nervous, I start to talk really quickly, and my voice goes up, so somebody stop me if that happens. I gave part of this story in the women's Bible study 3 or 4 weeks ago, and Sarah thought perhaps somebody might benefit from it here. So I went home, and I said, well, Lord, you know, that part of my testimony was really specific to the Bible study. What else could I possibly say? And I said, well, you know, I've got four kids. I have plenty to say. And so I prayed, and all this stuff started to come. And then I thought, no, it's too much stuff. That's too much stuff. So I kind of whittled it down. And then I struggled with how am I going to put it together to make sense and that it flows. So I came up with sort of a before picture and an after picture. And it was really before I obeyed God and left all the consequences to him, which is actually something that I borrowed from Dr. Stanley. So I'll start with it. I've been saved for 25 years. I got saved 3 years after I was married. I was visiting my mom, who's a complete Jesus freak. And I was visiting her in New Orleans, and went to a little church there, got saved, got baptized, and I came home really gung-ho. Told my husband, and he was really not gung-ho. It's been a battle ever since. He's not saved, and it was really difficult. I was so excited, and well, take my kids to church. And for about 2 months, I got up every Sunday, take my kids to church, and my husband would be like, oh, no, I'm going to take them to the zoo, or I was going to take them for ice cream. Or it became so stressful and strife-filled, my home, that I sort of went underground as a Christian. I cherry-picked scriptures that sort of justified my circumstances. I you know, went with, well, blessed are the peacemakers, I'll keep the peace, I'm not going to talk about the war when my husband's home. Obey your husband, wives obey your husband. You all know that one. And I'll try that. I also was aware of Hebrews 10:25 that talks about not forsaking the gathering of the brethren, but that didn't fit what I needed at the time, so I ignored it. It was very confusing to my children. I would sort of pull Jesus out. He was like an accessory. And you know, when I was in the world, I was worldly. If I spoke to a Christian or was listening to Christian radio, I whip Jesus out, dust him off. You know, I was a Christian. So anyway, this went on. This is like 25 years. This is not, I'm trying to condense it to 20 minutes. This went on for a long time. When I talked to my children about, my husband would leave the house, I'd say, okay, now we're going to have Bible study and we're going to pray. Well, it was because that's what Christians were supposed to do. I didn't understand the love of God and that we did it because we love God. It was because that was the rule. That's what we were going to do because God said so. And if you have teenagers, you've said that because I said so often. And if you don't, you will. So I didn't explain to them what love, what God's love was, why we did it, we wanted to know God, any of that. But I did listen to everyday Bible teaching on the radio. Lots and lots of Bible teaching. But I never read the Bible for myself. Well, that's not true. I read the Bible, but I never understood a word of the Bible. It was so frustrating to me. The more I tried to understand it, the further away from God I felt I was getting because I did not get this. You know, I would call my mom and I'd say, well, what are you doing, Mom? And she'd say, well, I'm on the porch and I've just spent a lovely time with the Lord in His Word. And I'd hang up and, what does that mean? What does that mean? I don't get it. So, I mean, Mom's all right. She's all right. Anyway, so this went on for 25 years. I have the study Bible. And I would read scripture and then go straight down to the note to see what the note was telling me that the scripture meant. Eventually, I just skipped the scripture and went straight to the note. I didn't even read it. I just read abundant notes. It was, you know, it was so pathetic, really. So, as I said, I listened to Dr. Stanley often on the radio, and he often said, obey God and leave all the consequences to him. So my fear of the consequences of my strife-filled home and my cranky husband, you know, it kept me from obeying God. In my mind, I was obeying God. I was being peacemaker, and I was obeying my husband, but I wasn't. It was partial obedience, and partial obedience was disobedience. So really, I was disobedient for 25 years. Anyway, it's sort of like, it's like, you know, you let a child struggle to try and figure out the problem and give him a little room to figure out the problem, and when you see the thing for disaster, you, as a parent, you step in. Well, that's what the Lord did for me 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the Lord stepped into my life. I was fast asleep. It was Easter Sunday. I was asleep in bed, and I shot out of bed. Now, I don't chew out of bed. I sit on the side. I wait for the blood to get down. I stand up, work out the kinks, and then I go. But I shot out of bed, and I looked over at my husband, and the words started coming out of my mouth. And I said, you know, honey, for 25 years, I've been a lukewarm Christian. I have tried to keep you happy, and I've been disobedient. I said, and I'm going to church. And these words are coming out. I'm thinking, what is happening? Who's saying these things? That this was not at all how I had been. So anyway, I said, you can come with me, but I'm taking Will. Will's my youngest. My oldest child is 27. So I have three adult children. So the only one really home with me at this point is Will, who's 11. So I said, I'm taking Will, and we're going to church. You can come, don't come, but I'm going. Well, he didn't say one single word, which was a miracle in itself, because normally I would have had this whole battle, which is why I haven't been going to church for 25 years. So that was the before my obedience. My God saved me, I think, 2 years ago. I mean, I was saved, but really saved me 2 years ago when I decided to obey God, and I left all the consequences to him. So I walk into Cherry Ale, and it was like God breathed immediately life into my little shriveled spirit. I hadn't realized how desperate for God and his people that I was. I was so isolated, thinking I was doing the right thing, and I was so far from right. And I was such a Martha. You know, I spent so much time trying to get the rules right and doing what I thought, you know, Christians were supposed to do. Even with my kids, it was, anyway. So I came into Cherrydale. I heard sermon after sermon about God's love for me and his love for the lost. I used to ask God to kill my husband. I mean, that's how desperate I was. I thought if my husband was dead, I could go to church, I could take my children to church, I could raise them as Christians, and you know, this guy's really holding me back. And that's truly how I felt. But when I came to church and I learned about God's love, true love for me, I stopped asking God to remove my husband, and I started earnestly praying for his salvation and that he would understand why I needed to be in church. I started to teach my children that we pray because God wants us to talk to him and he wants to talk to us, and that we read our Bible not because God said so, but because that's how we know God, and when you know God, that's when you love God. So that's what happened. I joined the Witness, and now I still didn't get this, but I knew I was supposed to get it. So an answer to prayer was the Women's Bible Study, which I joined, and I wanted to show you this book. The leaders of the Bible Study had recommended this book, because I know as a mom of three young, I wouldn't have had time to go to a Bible study. But if anybody struggles with the Word, or getting into the Word, or even wanting to be in the Word, this book by Jan Wilkin, it's called Women of the Word, How to Study the Bible with Both Your Hearts and Our Minds. It changed my life. It changed me from dreading the Word to finding such joy in being able to open it and read it. And I almost get it. You know, some things I get, I'm so down with the Philippians book. But anyway, so I get, you know, this was awesome. If anybody struggles, this is a great book. So I joined the Bible study. I volunteer in the nursery. I've been to Sunday school classes. I've given my testimony twice now, and I'm not saying this to say, oh, look what I'm doing. For 25 years, I did nothing. I thought I was doing something. I did nothing. But because I obeyed the Lord, and so all the consequences to him, it's what God has done. I mean, I'm in a church body. I'm active in the church. Before, I was a wart of the body. You know, I was on the body, but not doing anything. I was just there. So now I'm part of the body, and the body is sort of ministering to me, and hopefully I'm getting something, you know, back. It's just been life abundant. It's been awesome. So I put it through all of that, and then there's something that I really wanted to talk to the mom. That was sort of more general stuff, but the moms. My mom used to say to me all the time, I'd get frustrated with, you know, I'd just clean the kitchen floor, and my children would tromp through, and there'd be mud everywhere, and I'd get so frustrated that my mom would say, Claire, would that matter to a dead man? And I'm like, well, what does that mean, would that matter to me? I'm not dead, it matters to me. Yes, it matters. I'm just like, okay, you know, clean this. So that's actually something I wanted to talk to you moms about. And I have some scriptures here. So I did a little study on dead men. What does that mean? So we took Romans 6:11, Galatians 2:20, Luke 9:23, and Colossians 3:5. There's so many others. But so these are all scriptures that talk about being dead to self, dead to sin. We're dead but alive in Christ. So it's helped me when I would get cut off in traffic, for example, and I'd want to send a little ungodly sign language. I now just say, well, would that matter to a dead man? That wouldn't matter. If I was dead to self, pride and arrogance, if I was dead to self and alive in Christ, would that matter to a dead man? Wouldn't matter. So I can let them go. You know what I mean? It's liberating. When my husband makes a snarky comment, I don't have to turn to him and say, you're heathen on your way to hell. You know what I mean? I can let that go. I can be dead in Christ. I mean, dead to self, alive in Christ. And my kids, you know, I remember once when they were little, I just folded this pile of laundry up to here, and my son ran by and knocked it over. Well, I screamed bloody murder. Well, would that really matter to a dead man? That wouldn't matter, right? Now, I'm not talking about disciplining. We have to discipline our children. You can't say, you know, your child's ruined. Would that matter to a dead man? That wouldn't matter.
Tomato wouldn't matter.
But it wouldn't matter, really. It's so liberating if you guys can say that, especially with a little kid. My children would often say, Mom, let's, you know, run a tea party or let's build a fort. And I would always say, well, I've got the laundry and I've got to clean the floor and I would do this and I would go into my Martha mode. And if I could get those years back, I mourn the loss of those years with my kids. If I could get that back and just say almost every time, would that matter to Devin? No, my laundry will still be there. Your dirty floor will be dirty tomorrow again. Stop and do and be and share every little minute with them because it's gone so quickly. It's gone so fast. And in every situation, really, you know, you're in the grocery store, you choose the longest line there and the slowest teller. You know, I used to tap my foot. Would that matter to a dead man? No, it really wouldn't. It allows you to be like Christ. How would Christ respond? You can respond as Christ would respond if you can say, would that really matter to a dead man? If my child isn't clean by the time I get from home to church, I would have gone back. I would have gone home and made him change and get all clean. Really, would that matter? It doesn't matter. So anyway, I blabbered on and I've said all that to really just say that. If you could just say, in almost every situation, if someone hurts your feelings or, you know, cuts you off or is snarky, would that matter to a dead man? You can respond like Christ would respond. And it was like Pastor Steve said on Sunday about knowing who you are in Christ and then acting like it. It's very eloquent. I just feeling, you know, would that matter to a dead man? To me, you know, we know how you're supposed to use scripture, and if something happens, you know, if I could pull up a scripture now, what would the scripture be about, you know, loving everybody no matter? Yeah, it's easy to say, would that matter to a dead man? Would, and you can be, for me, I've been so much more Christ-like. I'm so far from it, but so much more Christ-like because I'm able to just say that. So anyway, that was a whole lot of stuff, guys. Hopefully it made some sense. But especially for moms of young people, you think this is just, you know, never going to end. It ends so quickly. And you know, anyway, God bless me. I got one more child that's still home, and I'm able to do things differently. But I do more and more and more in those years that are gone that I could have done so better if I had just figured out, you know, doesn't matter. Wouldn't matter. Nothing matters, actually, to a dead man. Anyway, thank you.